All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning on this Thursday morning. It's hard to believe it's already the middle of March, isn't it? But we are here. And a lot of stuff is going on, Brad. A lot of stuff. If y'all would continue to pray for those two ladies that I believe where 5G has been messing with their equilibrium, you know, the radiation and stuff. One of the ladies fell and broke her nose in two places, went through surgery yesterday. I haven't heard yet how she's doing. Let's pray for her. And then the other lady fell off her bed. And what it does is that radiation, it messes with your equilibrium. And it causes you to be very, very weak. And that's what these ladies are going through. I mean, they do have things that you can buy to help with to kind of thwart that through EMF protectors and stuff like that. So, you know, if you guys, anybody listen to this, I don't care if you're all over the world, okay, where you're living. If you live near a city, and you know there's a lot of towers around you and a lot of radiation and stuff, you need to get those devices. Now, I do believe Jesus protects us and all that. Don't get me wrong. But we do other things as well. You know, we do what we know to do and trust the Lord type of deal. But, you know, like, you know, eating supplements and stuff like that, because we know they got chemicals in the air and, you know, the toxic foods that they have and stuff like that. So we try to do things to help our body along, you know. But anyway, there are devices that you can buy that will thwart and kind of push that radiation out of the house. That will cover you within like I forgot how many yards radius, but it will, you know, push like all that energy away from the house type of deal. So I really, you know, encourage you guys, if you're in a city around all that radiation, you know, just consider that, especially if you're non-vaccinated, you know. Now, talking about non-vaccinated, I got the notice this morning that I got a notice from YouTube last night. It was 5G. I believe now the doctors are not going to tell these ladies this. Don't get me wrong. The doctors are going to tell them it's whatever reason. But I just believe that there has to be a correlation of 5G and what began happening whenever they upped the 5G back in December. And that's when we began to see a lot of sickness in the church. Okay. So that's why I believe, and plus, you know, through our research and stuff like that, that we have studied about 5G and what it does to the human body, which, by the way, goes all the way back to the COVID. Oh, getting, there is a device that you can buy to put in your house to thwart it. It shoots out a signal and it pushes those radiation signals away from your residence. So anyways, you can check those out. I really encourage that. But going back to that, I got a notice yesterday from YouTube, and they said, we're punishing you because we don't like your content. So they're taking away a lot of my benefits. Like, they said that I will not be able to share my link on a website, which is detrimental to me. You know, being able to, because this is what I do. You know, I use YouTube platform while I can. I know my days are running short anyway. But I use the YouTube platform for the video purpose. So I'll use my program, you know, which is the Restream, and then I will post it over on YouTube, and then I will post the YouTube link over on the website, which is the GOEM.US. And then people can go to the website, and then they can click on that link and watch it right on the website. Or they can choose to, you know, have it go all the way over to YouTube. So now on Facebook, I have opened up the Bible studies to where they can be on Facebook as well. But if a person wants to watch, they can't watch publicly. They don't offer that for some reason. They make every person that wants to watch a video from Facebook actually have an account with Facebook where YouTube does not. So anyway, so YouTube punishes me again. You know, I told you I had battled them for years where they tell me they just do not like me. They do not like my content, period. What, they don't like what I do or whatever. So that was one, is that they was going to stop my being able to share on a website. And then something about my comments and something. It was about five or six benefits they were going to cut me off with. Okay, so that was yesterday. I was like, wow. I thought they were changing to where everybody had free speech right now, right? Because they're going into this decentralized world. So everybody has free speech. Okay, well then this morning, I get to notice that they took my video down of the warning about anti-Semitism and the non-vaccinated people. And again, they tell me I'm causing egregious harm. That's what they say, egregious harm. Well, in the legal world, you know, I told you I used to work for that lawyer for a year when I was in grad school. When they say that I cause egregious harm with my content, that's not anything to play around with anymore, because we know they are arresting people right now for treason. Have you guys, did you see on the news where the FBI guy, that new Patel guy, is arresting people for treason? I'm going to actually, while I'm live with you guys, I'm going to look it up. Kash Patel, which is Trump's puppet, he's the one that made all them movies promoting Trump. Okay, Kash Patel, he's the FBI director now. Arrest for treason. All right, let's see what's happened since then. All treason cases need to be televised on national TV. What? Every channel must be interrupted so every American sees how we treat traitors. You gotta be kidding. American justice. FBI Kash Patel charges three U.S. Army personnel with treason. Arrested the suspects for theft of government, bribery, and betrayal. U.S. soldiers accused of leaking. New sheriff in town. Three U.S. Army personnel stand accused of treasonous actions against the United States. He arrested two soldiers. Well, this is just the beginning, is the point that I'm trying to say. So when they say, you know, that I'm calling egregious harm, let me give you just a definition of egregious harm. All right, hold on. Egregious harm definition. Because remember, when social media, y'all need to know this, everything you do on social media is all legal. This is why all your opinions and everything you put out there can and will be used against you. That's why I've been warning you guys, you know, be very careful what you put out there. Okay, so when they write me and they say, ma'am, you are causing egregious harm to society, this is a serious legal charge they're bringing against me. Okay, so let's look at the definition here. Egregious harm refers to harm that is extremely and conspicuously bad, flagrant, or outrageous, often used in legal context, particularly when child abuse or neglect. Egregious itself means standing out from the flock or conspicuously bad. So egregious harm implies a level of harm that is not just bad, but exceptionally and obviously wrong. So here's the legal context. In legal settings, especially in child protection cases, egregious harm can be used to describe actions or omissions that are so severe. All right, now listen. They warrant intervention such as the termination of parental rights. Examples. Egregious harm might include severe physical abuse or neglect, failure to provide adequate food, shelter, and medical care, exposure to dangerous situations, sexual abuse or exploitation, parental behavior that demonstrates a grossly inadequate ability to provide minimally adequate care. So here's the legal definition. Some states like Minnesota have specific statutory definitions of egregious harm in the context of child protection. For example, Minnesota defines it as infliction of bodily harm or neglect demonstrating a grossly inadequate ability to provide minimally adequate parental care. While used in the legal context, the term egregious can also be used in other situations to describe something that is exceptionally bad or unacceptable. So, okay, here you go. Egregious harm is the type and level of harm that affects the very basis of the case, deprives the defendant of a valuable right, or vitally affects a defensive. So basically, they're giving me a legal definition of not only is my content harmful, but it is egregiously, like beyond the normal YouTuber harm. And I was telling Dennis this morning, I'm like, look at this, because here's YouTube on there with some of the grossest, vilest things. Like I said, with Kanye West on there having an orgy with President Trump and Taylor Swift and all them in the bed together naked. That's not egregious harm, much less all the gross video games they have on there with for children. That actually show, you know, blood and gore, you know, and much less the videos that are up there of John Podesta. I don't know if y'all have ever seen them, but those are gross with the child. What, you know, the video footage they got of these kids in camps. You know what I mean? Like these kids that are sex trafficked and stuff that are allowed to be on YouTube. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up, you know. But yet me, you know, doing the news is egregious harm. So the point that I'm trying to say is, obviously their position that people have a right to free speech is out the window. It's not true. This is why I'm telling you, all these people on YouTube that have hundreds of thousands of followers, there's a reason for that. I really believe this because, you know, the ones that speak real truth, you know, they're going to continually harass and remove. So this week, I'm kicked off for a week, which is my first strike. So I do have a backup channel, which is Dr. June Weir. I'm going to, you know, shoot the link out to everybody to do the Bible studies because I have a Bible study this afternoon and a Bible study Monday about the tabernacle. So I will have to do them on the other channel. But Dennis, you know, his point was, well, they can't stand you doing the news, period, on YouTube. It doesn't matter. I've went through I don't know how many channels. They, of course, they find you on every one because they make you turn in your driver's license. Did y'all know that? If you want to have videos over 30 minutes and stuff, you have to submit your driver's license. So they know who you are, you know. Yeah, I know they can't stand me, but they can't stand what I do in the news, how I warn you guys. But that one about anti-Semitism and the non-vaccinated, you know, I'm going to repost that up on Patreon today. Let me go in there and make sure I still got the video. Let's see. Yes, I still have it. All right, let me down. I'm going to download that sucker. But I will post that up on Patreon. I'll have to go back to deleting the videos on YouTube. That's the only way I see it. Just like I was doing there for a while, where I would do the news and then delete it and upload it on Patreon. There was a reason I was doing that. But I thought we had a little more freedom, but obviously we don't. So I'm going to have to go back to doing that. But anyway, so today's Bible study and Monday's Bible study we will do on the other YouTube channel. And if you're on Facebook, you can watch it over there. Now, talking about Facebook, I did make the announcement yesterday, and I'd like to read it to you guys as an official recording so that the people that listen to this later and are not able to be on here this morning will hear the official reason, so you guys know that I am not lying. All right. Okay, I finally did it yesterday where I explained why I'm back on YouTube, because I know people on there wonder, why is this woman back? What is it? Because I've been gone like 4 years. Okay, so here we go. I said, I know many of you are wondering why we are back on Facebook, and I hope this explanation helps. For now, we want to build relationships again while we have time left. Time is running out. So if we have offended anyone, please address it to us. God has done many things this last year through fasting and praying to prepare us for what's coming. So one of those is retiring WATB Ministries. God pulled me out of my job of being a full-time White House correspondent. I only do news shows and emergencies on YouTube. He shifted our focus from warning to preparing the bride for impact. So we are now Garden of Eden Ministries. We have a Bible college where we're training people for greatness, and we do morning prayer calls, church online, etc. So for the remaining time we have, we want to love, 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 and mend fences. When I was a White House correspondent and watchman, when you speak truth to people, it can cut like a knife. It divides. Sometimes my passion to speak the truth got prideful as well, of which I've had to repent many times and had to fast to recover, etc. Politics divides. But through that time and my assignment, I had to be firm and hold the line of holiness, etc. I have peace about all I said and did in that position, and I give God honor and glory for bringing me to Washington, D.C. with $9 in a suitcase and opening all those doors. He gets all the glory for what he has done. So needless to say, there are many bridges I need healed. On this wall, you will see who we are as Christians and family only. We will not bring politics here or controversial things. We want relationships. The last main assignment that God had me do as a White House correspondent was to warn the ministers I served across this country. I told them what was coming and did my last warning. God told me the door is shut. People have made their minds up to which image they are believing. So now I'm just loving on my way out. If you have any questions, call me. And I gave them all my public phone number. And then I shared a bunch of memories, because a lot of my family members that are on there now from all over the country have never seen these images. So I put them out there for them to see. So that's taken care of. But I wanted them to know that I am there to build relationships. And if you got anger towards me or whatever, let's deal with this. You know, because I do believe that our time is coming to a close. So I want to love, love, love on my way out. And that is my heart on that. Okay, so I guess that's all the notes that I have. Now, this morning, I do have the air conditioning company coming, so they're due any time. So I won't be able to open up the lines this morning. But, I mean, it's an electric company that's installing the plugs for the air conditioner type of deal. I do have a scripture to share with you guys this morning. If you would turn your Bible to Psalm chapter 42. Now, Psalm chapter 42 is talking about the deer panting after the water. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for our time together. And Lord, we know that the time that we're living in, Lord, is bringing a separation of us and technology, Lord. And we pray for all of us, Lord, that you give us wisdom on how to navigate this hour, Lord, and what to do with all of these things that we have that are standing against us, Lord. Give us wisdom in how to do this. Lord, today we pray over those two women, Lord, that are struggling right now. We pray, God, peace over them like a river. Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus over those two ladies, Lord. We pray that you be with them, Lord, and give them wisdom on their house and how to block the radiation and stuff, Lord. We just pray, God, peace over them. Send angels to their house, Lord, to protect them. Encourage their spirit today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that as we read your word this morning, Lord, that the Spirit would make it known, Lord, what it is that you want us to know through this word this morning. We lift up your holy name today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so let's continue here. As the heart pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul after thee, O God. And then I have to sing you that song. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You, O Lord, are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You, O Lord, are my strength, my shield. You, O Lord, may my spirit yield. You, O Lord, are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You know, I think about that deer that is trusting in the Lord for his substance. As the deer pants after their water brooks, that is the provision of God, the hand of God, the caretaker of God. I had a dream last night. And I dreamed that I was standing in front of this church, and the church was talking to this woman that was on Social Security. And they was telling this woman, you need to get off of Social Security. And y'all know yesterday in the news, when I was live in town, I went live and I was telling everybody, I'm thinking about something. Okay, you know, you got Elon up here and he's messing with people's Social Security money. And, you know, I was like, I want y'all to write in the comments, what do you think would happen if they took Social Security? What if they didn't pay for a day? What if it was a month? What if it was, you know, what if they really do put a pause in it while they try to figure it out? What would happen to society if they did that? Okay, so I did that show, and then I had this dream, and now I'm in this church, and this church is telling this woman that she needs to stop her Social Security. So I was advocating for the woman. I was like, she has a grandkid she takes care of. The grandkid battles disabilities. The parents neglected the child, so the grandmother took it in. And the grandmother is living off of that, you know. And so I was defending her. I was like, oh, no, she needs that money to survive, you know. And then the grandmother was also getting money for her being retired. So she's getting a double whammy, one for the grandson and one for her. And the thing is, see, I was defending her because I know this woman. I've known her for over 35 years. And I thought the church was giving her wrong advice, telling her to get off. So while I'm standing up in front of the church and I'm telling her, you need to stay on, this is what you need to survive, yada, yada, you know, the Holy Spirit stops me halfway and he said, who's her provider? I was like, oh, you are, Lord. So then I backed off defending her and then realized, maybe it is time for people to understand that they really may lose their Social Security and this is going to be a wake-up call. I mean, many people, see, I believe that's why they've waited till the end to mess with people's money. Right now, they're all lulled asleep and they're believing the image that's being portrayed on Fox News and all of the other preachers that are going along with this farce. But when you mess with people's money, that's when the eyes come open. Remember when I interviewed Celeste in the beginning and she said that FEMA knows if they keep five things going, they can change the entire world and nobody would ever notice and be the wiser. What was those five things? Their money. Allow them to still have money, still have a cell phone, have their internet where they can watch TV and roam around, and lights, as long as they can have lights, and something else. I can't remember what it was. But now we're at the point where the enemy is starting to expose himself because now it's game on and they're about ready to blow the lid. You know, they have had to wait this whole time anyway for their infrastructure to be put in place. That's why they have tickled the Christians. Because they need them to not cause any disruptions or any, you know, they need them to go along with it until they can completely lock them down, shut it down type of deal. But they can't do it till they get in position. So, the Christians, you know, need to be in position right now to understand, okay, you know, what is going to happen if they say, you know, we're going to shut it down because we have to get this thing figured out. What would happen to people out there? And then if you look at the situation of Elon, what if, because, you know, he was saying that his Tesla company, you know, had a cyber attack and Trump goes live, you know, and says he's buying a Tesla, which is against the law. He should have never been able to do that, you know, which I can preach on that till the cows come home. But The point is that they're trying to make it look like the Social Security Administration is not safe. They're not protecting the data right. Nothing out there is working right in the government is the image they're putting out there. So the solution of it all is to put everything into AI, but in order for you to access that money, you're going to have to be a part of this new system type of deal. So the moment of reckoning is coming, you know. So my encouragement to everybody that's listening, and I believe the dream was confirming that last night, you know, that we have to have it set in our mind, how far are we willing to go with this? Now, I am going to do a show, hopefully Bruce will do it with me, you know, where we can talk about the pass keys. Okay, the pass keys is something we're all having to face right now. So it is something that we need to get out there about how far are we willing to go with pass keys, if at all. My hesitancy right now is, are the pass keys set up? It's not so much that the fingerprints are wrong per se, because, okay, we give fingerprints on everything out there. So, and they have it on our touchtone phones and all that. So maybe it's not so much the fingerprints or even the face, as long as you're not doing this orb where they scan your eyeballs and all that. You know, taking a picture versus scanning is different type of deal. But anyway, how far are we willing to go? And what are they going to do? What is it for? Is it for the Web3 ecosystem? That's my point of it. Or is it just for internet, period? That's one of the questions I have to ask out there. But this is something that's coming immediate. So this is why we're going to have to do a deep dive into it and get some good quality answers. Because I was telling Dennis about the farm here. I was like, all right, Dennis, you know, since we know this is going to roll out this year, and Trump just put off this new date until July 14th for the CBDC deal, you know, basically the financial switchover. And then there's another date that's out there is in October. But we know that this year they're switching everything over. I was like, now, Dennis, this is what you need to realize. And all of you, too, you need to think about this. If we make a decision, and of course I know all of y'all are going to do what you're going to do. I'm not telling you, oh, you have to do this. I'm just kind of advising you so you can make wise decisions, because I know everybody has their own personal situation of what you're dealing with. And, you know, in other words, I'm not you. So, but for me and my husband, I can tell you our conversation. How's that? So I'm telling him, I'm like, now, Dennis, you know, you have to realize that when this thing comes, the world is still going to go on. They're still going to go shopping the next day. They're still going to be buying houses, buying and selling. They're still going to be going to the grocery store. Now, picture this for everybody listening. They're still going to be like, nothing has changed. Let's talk about your neighbor who lives next to you and has no idea what's going on out here. And then they're making this, let's say the pass key is all for Web3, so we're all saying, no, forget you, we're not going into the decentralized world. But the neighbors don't know this, right? So they're just living their life, and you're over here wide awake. Which is most of you anyway, right? So you go out and you tell this company, you know, your bank note for your house or whatever, your rent. You're like, I don't have the money this month because I just can't do the passkey deal. And so now it means that I can't have access to my money. It's in there. I mean, the money is in the bank, sir. It's just that I can't get it from there to you. So, I don't know what to say. You know, the world is still going to go on. These neighbors are still going to be just, this is how everything is so deceptive. Because they're going to be able to go to the bank and do transactions because they're going to do whatever it takes to get their money. So they'll give them their face, their scan, their hand, their whatever, you know, take the V to be in there. I mean, whatever it takes. But to the others, it's going to look like we're insane. Why are you not? I mean, this is so stupid. They already have your picture anyway. And then you think about it and you're like, well, that's pretty true. Well, they already have your thumbprint. Well, that's true. You know, they have all this stuff. So why are you resistant to do it again? So this is the question that I'm going to be delving in, you know, hopefully with Bruce. To where we can see, where is the ecosystem of this that you're wanting? Where is it going? Okay, so let's say it is going into Web3. And it is going into the decentralized ecosystem. That's the best way to put it. Okay, so then you turn around and you tell these people, well, it's because, you know, all of this passkeys that they're doing is going into the decentralized ecosystem, and I just feel like it goes against my religious position with the Lord that I cannot participate in this economy. This is the New World Order economy, which, by the way, let me tell you this. Did you know that if you believe in the New World Order, you are an anti-Semite? You are considered crazy if you believe that theology, that this order is taking over the world. And there, you know, it's so terrible because if you're awake to what's happening, if you see what is happening, you know, then you're going to be considered the crazy one. So the point that I'm trying to make to everybody this morning is, you know, are we ready to live in a world that is existing the way it is right now, where everybody is still living, they're still online, they're still shopping, and all they're wanting is this one change? You know, people just take the mark over here. You know what I mean? They're still living. So are you willing to go that far with it? And that's what I was talking to Dennis about. And he's like, well, you need to do some real serious research into this passkey, because this is a serious thing what me and Dennis are considering and pulling out of, and for all of us. So there's a few questions we need answered. So I just want you to know we will be looking into that, because it is very serious, because it is. You don't think we can? What, pull out of it? You don't think we can pull out of it, sister? I think we can. Oh, go into it, I see. Yeah, we don't want to go into Web 3. But what we need to know, because I actually didn't think about it until Bruce brought it up. Bruce is convinced that it is not Web3 we're going into. That when they want these passkeys, it's just for everything. So that's where I'm not so convinced. But I really do. I really like Bruce, so I'm going to trust him. I'm going to research it and see. Because I see Elon doing is, and the media, because you know the media is working along with them. Elon is trying to convince everybody that the world government, the government here in the United States, is such an everlasting farce. It is unsafe. It is archaic and old. This is how he's describing it to the world. you know, no security, can be broke into anytime, you know, unreliable, misusing of their, you know, things like paying people when they're not even working type of deal. So he's making it look very unstable. See, he's resetting it. But the problem is he's trying to get society to go along with the plan. So if they can convince everybody that they need AI, that they want AI to come in, which is what they're doing, whether people like it or not, but they need the public to kind of go along with it and agree with it. You know? Yeah. So we need to really find out, because it would buy us a little more time if we was able to discover that. I mean, because if you think about it, if it is just for generic purposes of just being online, that may not be so bad. If you can do, okay, here's another one. If you can do a pass key by just a code, I have no problem with that till the day is long. You know, because I can give you 4 digits. But I don't see why those 4 digits are any different than a password. So how does that make it safer? So then that makes me question that, because are you needing the 4 digits because you're going to put those 4 digits into a decentralized network? Is that why you need the 4 digits versus a password that's 7 to 8 characters? Y'all see what I mean? So it's getting very serious, though. And so this is something we need to do pretty much priority, you know, to find out how far we're going to be going with this. Okay, so let's go back to the scripture. So if you guys, you know, while you're just working in the daily and you see anything about this, about the pass keys and stuff that you think I need to know, please send it to me to info@watb.tv. No, not that one. info@goem.us. Okay. And we will do a good video. I'm actually going to see if I can interview some experts, but I don't want to interview them till I get this new internet. Pray for me that they hurry up and get me this internet. Because there's a lot of interviews I'd like to be doing right now. And one of them is I want to interview some experts that I have connections to that I believe can give us some more insight into Web3. Okay. And that's what we need to be talking about, you know, because this is where we're all going. This is going to affect you, you know. And with the Social Security, we're going to have to see what, you know, Elon is going to end up doing with this. And are they using this to push everybody into Elon's new app, you know, his everything app? He's already got part of it going, I found out yesterday. Oh, okay. Thank you, Carl. That'd be great. He's already got the Everything app started. So, I mean, this is his ultimate goal. Now, if you think about how Elon has partnered with the government and how he's partnered with private partnerships, like I told you, my satellite company here is called ViaSat. And it's where I get internet from the satellite, okay? Well, Elon's satellite company, I can't think of what it's called right now, Starlink, has partnered with the satellite companies like ViaSat. And so now they've meshed. Now they're all together. Well, our neighbor down the road has Starlink. And he's one of these prepper guys that lives in a, not a tent, but a one of those RV trailer type of deals. And, you know, so he's building him a house on raw land. And, but he can get that satellite, the Starlink. Well, he got it. Well, the other neighbor that's about 5 acres away from him can feel the radiation from that thing, from the Starlink. He has ringing in his ears now, which is one of the signs of the 5G radiation. He has ringing in his ears, and he feels it. So, but he has really good internet, you know. But anyway, Elon is partnering with all these entities, the medical industry and everything, because he's getting ready on his Everything app to have everything. That's why he's calling it the Everything app, because it will have everything on it. You'll be able to work with the government. You'll be able to go shopping. You'll be able to go to your bank. You'll be able to buy and sell in public places, you know, type deal. All right, so let's go back to the word. This morning is in Psalm 42. So as we were saying, yes, that's who I was talking about, D. That is one that I am wanting to interview. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so in Psalm 42, we're talking about, as the deer panteth after the water, so my soul longs after you. And we related that to the Social Security Administration and what's going on with the seriousness of the times that we're at of, you know, I mean, it's the rubber has met the road at this point. You know, people are getting ready to lose their sustenance, you know, their livelihoods over this decision that Christians are about to make over this evil rulership that Elon's out here doing, you know, with the, you know, this global order. So this is a very, did I leave you hanging, Carla? I wasn't going to tell y'all, but it's a mind jobby. Carla, y'all know how to get me every single time. Y'all know me too good now. Yes, I'm going to try to get with a mind jobby again. Too funny. Okay, but now going back to Psalm 42. So as the deer panted for the water, you know, we're going to have to pant after God like this. You know, like I told you about my dream last night with my confrontation with these people trying to get this woman off of Social Security. I was on the other side of it. You know, and it remember that dream? Oh, man, listen to this. Remember that dream I had 2 days before it rolled out, the Hurricane Helene? Remember that dream? Where I was the person that was on the opposite side of the deal. Let me tell you that dream just to remind you. 2 days before Hurricane Helene hit, I had a dream where I was, you know, outside in the public square. And people were warning us about the tsunami coming and the flooding coming. And I didn't want to hear it because I wanted to live. I wanted to party and do my own thing. I am tired of you people warning. You extremists over here, right? So the water starts coming around my feet, you know, and they're still talking. I'm like, shut up. I don't want to hear you. Starts coming up around my knees. I don't care. I am still wanting to do my thing. I don't want to look. I don't want to look. Water comes up around my waist, starts coming up over my waist, and then the water starts moving me. This is where it gets sad, because I wanted my own life, even though I saw it. I saw the tsunami. I saw what was around me, but I didn't care. I didn't want to look. I wanted my life. So then the water got up around my neck and it started moving me and twirling me. Well, right before it did, I looked over to the right and there's all these people that was warning me, and they were behind a glass box. They were in a glass box. The water was coming on them, The water was right on them, but it was not touching them. They were in the glass box. They were protected. And I'm looking over at them as the waters are overtaking me, and I see the protection therein. And now the water is killing me. It is swirling me around in the water like a rag doll. And all I could think of was, I wish I would have listened. I wish I would have listened. So there's that dream. 2 days later, bam, it hit. And we saw the horrible horrors of what happened to those people in North Carolina. So sad. But anyways, now we have this dream this morning. Okay, where I am battling with the Social Security Administration. Now, I'm in the same boat as I was in that other dream where I'm defending the world's position. And this is what people are going to be thinking about us. What are you doing out here? You can have your money. You just got to do one thing. I mean, how stupid are you? You know, this is what they're going to be thinking. So this is why, you know, we need to hurry up and we need to research this. See, my new internet that's coming should be here within the next couple of weeks. I don't know why they're taking so long, but this is just how it is. They said it takes 40 days, 40 to 60 days. But I need to, as soon as I get that internet, I need to do them interviews. But we need to be getting some research so that we can see what it is that we're up against about these pass keys. Because that's going to be the key. Now, how they're going to present it to the public is, I'm sure, going to be with some kind of reward. Look, we will give you your Social Security and we'll give you back pay. You know, we'll take care of you. You just have to cross over here. But I don't think they're going to mention it as a crossover. I think it's just going to be a safety measure. You know, we had to do it this way to make it safe. So if you want your money and everything, you're going to have to cross over here. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? So those days are upon us, and I believe that God gave me that dream because it's imminent. So I need to, get on that. Maybe I can do some research today. But as I said again, YouTube has punished me for a week, so I'm not allowed to post videos on that one channel, so I have to use my backup channel. And so if I go live about pass keys or whatever, it will have to be on the new channel. I posted the link here in chat. I'm going to post it again of the new channel. Make sure you guys like this new channel. They will have a red bow on it. True that, man. True that, Denise. Okay, so let's go back to the scripture over here. So as the deer pants after water brooks, so my soul pants after you, O God, because if they take your benefits, you know, and you have the decision of am I going to cross over into the Web3 ecosystem, which is the blockchain, which is the beast system, am I going to do that? And keep living. See, it's another one of them taking the V's to live, like they did years ago when the people were so scared to take the vaccination. They took it because they felt like if they wanted to live in this world, the world was more important. They chose the world. Well, now we're bump in the road again. This is another situation. So we really don't know like how they're going to present it, but as long as we have enough information to where we know, okay, first of all, let me just tell y'all this. If Elon presents anything, it's a no. If Trump presents anything of a security measure, it's a no. You know what I mean? In my opinion. But so we will have to do some more research on these passkeys because this is what is before us right now. But as the deer pants after the water brooks, how much are we going to pant after the Lord's provision? Just like my dream last night. So to you that just signed in, let me give you the dream I had last night. I dreamed that I was in this church, and there was a woman that I know that I've been friends with for over, she's a old family friend. So I've known her probably over 35 years now. Well, she takes care of her grandson who's disabled. Okay, so she gets his disability, plus she gets her disability because she's over 65. Okay, so she has two coming in the household. This is how she's surviving. She lives in a beautiful house. Okay, two-story beautiful house. So the church was telling her, ma'am, you need to get off of Social Security. You know, you need to get off of it. And I'm like, no, she don't. This woman is surviving off of this money. You're telling her to give up all of her provision. And then because I know her, I'm defending why she needs the money. This is her entire livelihood, her entire sustenance is in her grandson that she takes care of, the money there, and her Social Security that she gets because she's elderly. You see what I mean? So then as I'm defending her, the Holy Spirit stops me in my dream. And he says, who is her provider? And I was like, oh, that's right. You know, and then I woke up. So in the natural, in other words, we reason why we need these things. But we're going to have to know in our spirit, who is it really that is our provider type of deal? It's like when I went to those ladies the other day and I was talking to these ladies that were coming out of addiction. You know, they were in that house called the Dream Center. You know, and this house is for women and mothers. They have their children with them. They each have their own room, and they have a, you know, a group fellowship hall, and then they have chapel at night. That's where I was speaking at. And I was sharing my testimony. The Lord gave me a dream that morning. And the Lord told me how to say it. And the dream was called, or the sermon was called, That Man. Which I'm going to play for you guys because I recorded it. So that's going to be Sunday's sermon. It's called That Man. And I went through time of my experience with men and my trusting in men. Okay. My codependence upon men. So I started out with my grandpa out on the cotton fields in Arkansas. And, you know, how abusive that was. And then how I ended up. My father, my mother married somebody like her father. He was abusive. And then I married somebody like my father. And then he was abusive, you know, yada, yada. And it was all like that until I met that man. The man. You know, really good. It was pretty good. But anyway, but it's a provision of, you know, do we trust the Lord? So let's go to verse 2. My soul thirst for God. What is your soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. For the living God, when shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is your God? Bam! Ooh, boy, this is setting a fire under me this morning. Because I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I think about Daniel in the lion's den. I think about all the stories of old where they have stood before the people and said, where is your God? Where I remember when I was in the press corps, actually, and I was up there next to NBC, and I was up there with a... a tripod. Now, picture this as a White House correspondent. How funny is this? In the White House correspondent, I had a tripod. with my iPad on there. And then I had a separate tripod to the right with one iPhone, and then another tripod to the left with another iPhone. And I was doing live streaming off all three of them on different channels. Because remember back then we had Periscope. Y'all remember that app, Periscope, which was live streaming? Anyway, so this man looked over at me and he said, "Where is your God?" I said, "What do you mean, sir?" He said, "You mean to tell me you don't have equipment? Where is your God? Didn't you say you was a Christian news organization?" I'm like, "Let me tell you something, sir," because I felt like I was looking at him going, "You uncircumcised Philistine to mock me, mock my God about what I have, you know." So I looked at him and I said, "Sir, let me tell you something." I said, "You see that camera right there on NBC?" He said, "Yep." I said, "I used to have a camera like that up until recently. Do you know that on my way to Washington, D.C., I stopped and interviewed a minister, and the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to give this minister all of your television equipment." And I had to give it to him. I said, "So let me tell you something, sir." I said, "You may see these little iPhones, but I see that." I said, "When God wants me to have that, he'll give me that." That man looked at me and he goes, I've never had nobody talk to me like you do. It was so funny. So the next day, I walked in with brand new equipment. Bam, shabam. Yes, I did. I walked into him. I walked up to him and I said, "Looky here, looky here. See what I mean?" God is so funny how he brings the revenge. But anyway, okay, so they continually saying to me, "Where is your God?" When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Isn't that beautiful? Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. How many of you today feel like your soul is cast down within you? And what I think that means is like this, you know. It's where you have these negative thoughts just pounding you down. Your ministry ain't worth nothing. Look at these low numbers you have. I tell you what, after all the years of you doing this, and this is what you have to show for yourself. See, that's my soul casting me down. It's just the devil. Because what did God tell me years ago, back in 2017, when I was standing in front of the White House doing a speech at that national march, and God spoke to me and said, "Don't ever look at numbers. You look at these people, because the great cloud of witnesses come through the clouds." Remember, I told you that story. He said, "This is why you do things, is because I'm watching. Never do it based on numbers." Well, the next year, because that was 2017, the next year he sent me to D.C. to live there. I only had a few people following me on Facebook at that time. I mean, think about it. So that's my soul trying to cast me down, trying to bring up the negative stuff to get me to look with my eyes and to be discouraged. And why are you disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Thank you, Lord. Remember, last night we did the sermon. Is today Wednesday or Thursday? What the world? I am thinking it's Thursday, isn't it? Yeah, it's Thursday. That's what I thought. Okay, so last night, last night we did that sermon praise is a weapon. Worship is a weapon. It is. And God has given us some tools this week for our warfare, hasn't he? Speaking in tongues is a weapon. Worship is a weapon. Hope thou in God. I want to tell y'all this. The other day when I was with them women, this woman come up to me. Now, this woman had sat there. First of all, she didn't even want to be there. And, you know, the leader told her, you have to be there. So she sat there, swolled up like a, you know, anger, swolled up in her anger. And she was sitting there all, you know, her hands crossed and all. She was in a cocoon of her own hurt. I've been there. So I would look at her throughout my sermon, you know, and try to make her laugh on my funny stuff, you know, and you couldn't crack her. I mean, this woman. So in the end, you know, she won one of the books and she smiled. So I got a smile out of there. And, but this woman afterwards, when I was at the end and I was praying with ladies, they would sit beside me and lay on me and I'd pray for them and love on them. Well, she was walking by and she'd look at me and walk off. And then she'd come back and look at me again. So she walked over to me like she was mad at herself. She had this battle going on inside. And she goes, I keep walking by you because I know I need you to pray for me, but there's something in me just don't want me to. And I said, well, sit down here, darling. Let's talk. So she sat down and began to explain to me. She goes, I can relate to your story so much, you know. So I looked at her. I knew she had been molested. And I asked her, who was it? And she told me, you know, it was a family member like my situation was. But, you know, she had somebody that she could open up that shell to. You know, she had this very hard casing around her that nobody's going to penetrate because she, I mean, this was a young girl. She looked like she had maybe, you know, in her 20s or whatever. And so she had this protective shell, but the Holy Ghost was tearing that wall down. That's what's so beautiful about giving your testimony. That's why we can't hide behind. We got to let people see that ugliness because there's people living and tied up in that ugliness. If we refuse to share our testimony, we're refusing them their deliverance. And that's a fact of it. My ugliness is what helped this woman to be set free, see. So she, you know, begins to tell me what's going on and everything. So I held her and loved on her and prayed for her. And she cried and cried. I mean, couldn't hardly breathe from crying. But the Lord is so good like that, you know, to tear down those walls like that in just an instant second there. Because she had this wall built up of anger and hurt, and she did not want that penetrated because she didn't want to be hurt anymore. But this is what I told her. This is the point of me telling you this. I told her, I said, sister, I know that within you right now, you feel like you cannot forgive this man. I said, but God, all he needs is for you to say it out of your mouth. I forgive. And you say that man's name. Once you choose by an act of your will to come in agreement with God and to just get it out, he takes the rest and he runs with it, ma'am. So just repeat after me. And then she did. And then she bawled and bawled and bawled. Because, see, God knows that when you're wrapped up in that much anger and that much hurt to protect yourself, this cocoon you got going on, he knows that within your own self, you can, of course, because you're so wrapped up in your hurt and anger. But if you will just take that rudder of your ship and you just let that rudder agree with heaven for a minute, and you say, I choose to forgive that man, that gives God permission to move on your behalf, giving you the grace to let that shell just begin, for God to begin to chisel that wall down, you see. And that's what those tears are. Those tears is that wall, you know, just cracking as it's coming down, because she's a beautiful woman. And on our way home, you know, me and Dennis was talking about it, and Dennis said, man, you know, he said, I grew up in such a good home. We never even knew things like this existed. And he said he heard something about it when all the way till he didn't hear a thing about anything like this until he was 11 years old. I told him, I said, Dennis, can you imagine being a 5-year-old girl and your authority figure, you know, go down your pants and offend you in this way? It's hard to explain what it does to a woman. It's a very degrading experience, a robbing of your soul. You know, I said, a lot of people have to go out of their self. This is where split personalities and demons come in, because they have to leave. They're so traumatized by the assault, you know, that they cannot handle it. And so the way Dr. Morris describes it about how demons enter children is, he said, it's like a demon walks up to the child and the demon says, let me come in. I'll take care of it. I'll handle this mean man. You know, and it's where a second personality comes in that can handle it. Basically, I'm not an expert. I'm not a counselor, you know. But I just know that for myself, what I went through, it is so traumatizing. You know, it affects you your entire life. And see, this is what I told this woman. I said, this is why you're here. God has you in this building, in this facility, you know, so that you can deal with this and go out from here living. Don't run from the pain, honey, you know, because it's that process that's going to take you to your destiny. That pain, all the pain that comes through your healing is necessary. You know, we can't run from the pain of facing our past. You know, God wants us to face our past. Now, there's a lot of people that say, you know, once you get saved, never look back and yada yada, but I know that God forgives us and whatnot, but I know God. He will deal with the roots. See, that's what that is her roots. Her roots, those are buried deep, those roots. So when I prayed for her, I was praying those roots out, pulling those roots out. Because they goes down in there and it embeds in the roots, and that's what causes the person to be like they are. So God goes back and he, you know, through your help and surrender, he goes in there and he'll heal those roots. And that's how I ended my story, actually, is I told them through all the trauma and assault I've had from men. When I met that man, he healed those roots of those other men. And then I said, at the end of the whole thing, I said, if it was not for me allowing that man to heal those roots, I would have never met and pointed towards Dennis, that man. My promise that God gave me 17 years before, you know. So it was good. Okay, let's go back to the scripture here. Okay, verse 6. We are in Psalm 42, verse 6. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember you from the land of Jordan. Oh, okay. All right. We hear you, Lord. What he's saying is, don't forget my goodness. Remember my stories of the good things I've done in you. Remember, because the enemy tries to paint a picture of destruction and death before you. Basically, you know, his soul is cast down. Oh, it looks so bad. My eyes are seeing so bad. This is horrible, horrible, horrible. But God is saying, why are you paying attention to this? Have I not been there for you before? So this is what I hear God saying to us this morning. Okay, we all see what is before us, right? We see that we're this time of having to trust in God with no money is approaching very fast. You know, this time of the ecosystem swapping over and, you know, us going to be left out. What are we going to do, Lord? God is saying to us, remember what I've done for you in the past. Remember, remember how the other impossible situations where it seemed like I couldn't done it back then and how I turned around and did it. One of those stories in my life is the story of how God gave me that brand new house. Remember that story? I don't have to go into the whole thing, but they was going to take it. You know, I had the three kids living in this house that we had built. We had designed it and picked out all the carpet and the cabinets and the siding color and, you know, got to design it in this brand new neighborhood, the subdivision they built in the area where I was driving a school bus at that time. I mean, it was the dream come true. But the bank calls and says, ma'am, you're not going to be able to have this house. I'm sorry, you got to be out within 10 days. I mean, we was getting ready to close. I was like, no, sir, no, you can't do this. I've got these kids living here. You can't take this house from us, please. And he says, I'm sorry, you got to be out in 10 days. So I go in the living room. Now I got to tell you the story. So I go in the living room, and I'm having this powwow with God. I'm like, God, please don't take this house. These kids are so happy. It's walking distance to the school because, you know, they was very active in their school and everything. It was just a perfect location, perfect house. I was like, please don't take it from them, Lord. They need the house. And then I went into praise. I said, but I'm going to praise you anyway. And I started jumping up and down, praising him and shouting. I said, I love you, Lord. I worship you and all this. So I get the victory in the midst of the storm. So I go back there to the bedroom and I get a phone call. And I looked on the phone and it said unidentified. I'm like, that's weird. Usually it'll say unknown, but it said unidentified. So I pick it up and I said, hello. And it said, his eye is on the sparrow. And I know he watches me. I'm thinking Ann Opal, because I had a, you know, this lady we called Ann Opal in Florida, and she sang on the worship team, and I thought maybe she had butt dialed me. And I said, Ann Opal, and he got, and I sing because I'm happy. And then I realized this is an angel singing to me. And I sing because I'm free for his eye is on the sparrow, and I watches me. So as she's singing in the most beautiful angelic voice, I am bawling, 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 because I realize my God called me and he sang to me. And then the phone went blank. Then it rings again. Then it's the bank. Ma'am, I don't know what to tell you, but not only do you get to keep a house, but now you have a house with a cheaper interest rate and a cheaper house. No, ma'am. Congratulations, you have a house. I was like, yes! I was so happy. I closed on it the next week. Now we own this beautiful home. So I am living it large until a year later when God calls me to Bible college and tells me how the cow ate the cabbage at 4 o'clock in the morning, tells me, I want that house back. I want you to leave and give away everything you got and follow me with nothing, woman. I'm like, this same guy, this is the old devil. So the next, I researched that school he wanted me to go to, and it had a school, you know, for my kid. He was going to be a senior, so it was $4,500. So the next morning, the Lord woke me up 4 o'clock in the morning again. He said, I said, I want you to go to World Harvest Bible College. So I told the Lord, I said, all right, Lord. I said, if this is you, I said, you know, I was reading in the Bible yesterday about old King Gideon, and you was telling him to go do something he didn't want to do. So he said, Lord, I just want to make sure that this is you. So I'm going to put a fleece out there, and I'm going to ask you, you know, if you put dew on that fleece but not on the ground, I'll know it's you, Lord. So the next morning, you put, you know, dew on that fleece and not on the grass. So then he said, well, Lord, you know, that could have been a mistake. So let me just say, if you put dew on the grass but not on the coat, then I'll know it's you. So the next morning, you did it, Lord. You put dew on the grass and not on the fleece. So, Lord, since you're asking me to give up my life and my son's life, I am asking you, if you really want me to go there, Lord, then pay that $4,500. If you do that, I'll know it's you because I don't have the money. So, a couple of days later, I get a phone call. Ma'am, I'm visiting the church and, you know, I want you to go with me because they're doing a big conference and yada, yada, you ain't got to pay a thing. So God brings me up there. I go in there and I sit in this big, you know, gymnasium full of ministers from all over the world, which I felt I belonged. I felt it in the spirit. The greatness in the room was me, me, me. I felt it. Meaning I had this witness in my spirit. This is where I belong. So this woman spoke to me and she goes, that's said the Lord, I have called you up here to go to Bible college. I'm going to pay for your son's tuition. Don't you worry about a thing. So then I didn't know that woman from Adam. So the next morning I was at the altar and I said, Lord, I really just need one more. Kind of like Gideon, you know. I just need one more confirmation, Lord, please. So this woman walks up to me and she goes, that's said the Lord. I have called you to come up here to go to Bible college. Don't worry about a thing. I'm going to pay for it. So I drive all the way back. I stand in front of my church and I said, well, I just got baptized 2 weeks ago and God's calling me out. So they came and got all the furniture and I left 2 months later with my van, with a little trailer with boxes. And that's my dime story. I went to World Harvest church up there in Columbus, Ohio, with nothing but a dime. But when I think about the provision of God, going back to Psalm 42, I reflect on that. When he says, therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan. The goodness of God, the memories we have. He'll do it again. He'll do it again. He'll do it again if you'll just take a look at where you are now and where you've been. Hasn't he always come through for you? He's the same now as then. You may not know how. You may not know when, but he'll do it again. Remember that song? I think about old Dorothy. You know, Dorothy is one of our prayer call people. And you know, the storm, Hurricane Helene, come right to her door right there in Tampa Bay. And all them places got flooded, you know, and hit with the tsunami there but hers. Why? Why did she have lights on when nobody else did? Why was her building not flooded like everybody else's? Because she had the blood of Jesus. She went down there while we was on the phone. Remember that the day before it hit? She went down there and pled the blood of Jesus. She declared the victory over her place. And God met her with a miracle based on her faith to trust in him when the tsunami was right at the door. This is what we're going to have to do. Remember that woman that came in here on a prayer call one morning and she gave a dream? I'm going to tell you her dream. And then I'm going to have to get off here because they're going to be here in a minute. But this, she had this dream that she was on her way home from work and the lights went off everywhere. It was like the grid went down. Bam! And so she thought, I got to go to my parents and check on my parents. So she drives to her parents in the pitch black. She said it was so dark you couldn't even see in front of you. And she got to the parents and walked in and the lights was on. She's like, oh, man, this is so awesome. And then her boyfriend was standing there and he said, shut the lights off. You don't want the people to see that you have lights. And so they shut the lights off. And then this vehicle pulls up like a militia. A militia, I guess, saw the lights or whatever. And the militia was coming to get them. And so they, she said there was a baby in the room. And they picked up the baby and they're holding the baby. And this snake come in. It was so huge, and it began swirling around the house looking for him. And they just sat there, and they just prayed, and the thing wrapped around the kitchen. They were standing right by the kitchen table. It wrapped around the kitchen table, and then it just wrapped and went right back on out. And so God made them invisible from the beast. But she said there was something that let the snake know why they was there. This is what she said. She said that the snake had led the militia there. That's what it was. The snake knew where they was at, and the snake led the militia there. And so after all them had left, they went out the back door and they was going to leave. And I can't remember the rest of the story. There was a tower to the left and something, something. But the point is that the miracle in that story is how the beast was right in the room with them and did not see them. Which I took the beast, that snake is, if you've ever seen that movie World War Z, I think is what it's called, where it shows this mechanical snake that comes in and it's, I don't know how to explain it, but it's in the air and it floats through everywhere and it has these eyes and it's, has a bright light, and it's looking for people that it wants to kill. So I was thinking about that, you know, how the technology was right at their feet. You know, that I believe this is going to be the kind of miracles we're going to see. Miraculous provision. Believing, I mean, if you, and this is what God has been telling us now for this whole past year being on this prayer line. Y'all have to know this. God has spoken to us very plainly that if we will let him be God, if we will just trust him, he will show us what a mighty God he is. But we are really having to choose this day who we will serve. So if we will trust God, he will show us that he is the mighty God that can really, you know, help us and whatnot. So let me finish the scriptures here. And of the Hermonites and the hill Mizar, deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterspouts. All the waves and your billows are gone over me. Isn't that beautiful? Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song will be with me in my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is your God? Why are you cast down, my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. I do want to kind of warn you about something. Remember, I've warned you about these ministries that are a farce or whatever. I had a woman yesterday, she sent me this thing and says, I want to know your opinion of this. I'm like, I hate when people do that. Because it's almost like, do you really want to know my opinion? I mean, most people, they don't like it unless they really trust me. Because I'm going to tell you the truth. And, but a lot of people do it just because they want to know. I don't know. But anyway, so I popped over on it and I looked. It didn't take me 5 minutes. I was like, what an everlasting farce. I wrote that woman. I rebuked her. I said, let me tell you something. I said, don't ever send me something like that again. I mean this. That is nothing but New Age vomit. Don't even put that before my eyes again. And I mean it, because that is a mockery, this New Age stuff that they're... See, I've told you guys about that word Christ and how they do Christ. It's all the Christ within. That is New Age vomit, people. It's the name of Jesus. That Christ, when they say that, they're talking about the Christ universal. It is a universal consciousness with all these. This video she sent me had all these New Age symbols and everything. I'm like, woman, don't even. I mean, unless this is some kind of witch, just sending this to me to get me fired up. Yeah, Christ consciousness, that's the word. Carla's like, yeah, you will tell the truth. Yeah, so I hate it when people ask me, what do you think about this? It's like, ugh, don't ask, because I'm going to tell you. You already know, so why are you asking? You know what I mean? All right, guys, well, let me pray for you, and then we'll get off here today. All right, Lord, we just thank you so much for our time together. And, Lord, we hear what you're saying this morning in Psalm 42, Lord. Are we really going to trust you, Lord? And as that dream that you gave me this morning about the Social Security Administration and all that, Lord, the rubber is truly hitting the road right now, Lord. And we need the grace to be able to take position in this hour, Lord. And to go through what we're going to have to go through, Lord. We just thank you and give you praise for speaking to us this morning, encouraging us, Lord, to trust in you, to love you, Lord. We thank you and give you praise. And, Lord, I pray for everybody listening. I pray, Lord, that whatever needs they have, Lord, that you would help them. Send angels to their houses, Lord, to fight their battles, Lord. We rebuke every spell, incantation, and curse spoken over these people, Lord. I speak blessings over them and their homes, Lord. blessing on their jobs, Lord, and blessing in their heart. And Lord, I thank you that if anybody listening is being downcasted in their soul and they're going through oppression and depression, I break that thing right now in the name of Jesus and command it to go. All spirits of oppression and depression, I command you to go right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for delivering them and setting them free and filling them with a joy unspeakable and full of glory, Lord. In Jesus' name. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. All right, everybody. Well, you have a wonderful day, and I will talk to you later. Carla, that is so funny. I love you, sister. God bless.